whole bunch more people coming. Anthony and Melissa, they've got busload coming. But we'll let our young people be dismissed to their Sunday school class. And there'll be more young people here in just a minute. And I thank the Lord on His Father's Day, Sunday morning, to have young people in the house of God. Our adult Sunday school class, for those of you that aren't young like me, and years have flew like the leaves falling off a tree, more so than I want to count. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is opportunities in the kingdom. And our golden text is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And this is advice from the Word of God. And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Bible talks about mind and worldly things. And you know, when it comes to mind, most people want to give a piece of their mind. And really, the mind we need to have is a mind that was in Christ Jesus. Did thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When he was reviled, he answered not. And that's the kind of mind for a child of God to have. And it'd be good if we could do that. Said, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that's the right kind of mind. Humble, obedient. Our lesson today takes place in Luke chapter number 22. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can take your Bible. And if you've got a King James Bible, it'll say the same thing that I'll be teaching this morning. Our introduction, Jesus, in this lesson, he's trying to warn his disciples. You know, I, as a preacher, one of my jobs is to warn. It really is. And I do my best. Everybody doesn't receive a warning, but I do try my best with the Word of God to give warnings. And now, if I don't, God's going to require it at my hand. But he warns them about their attitudes, that they're wrong. And he warns them concerning his trial and his crucifixion. And while he's doing this, their desire is to exalt themselves. And it is a very common evil that people have to rise above others. And if you say you don't have that, you'd probably be lying this morning. It's an attribute. I don't know where we got it, but we've all got it. That at the expense of others, we could rise. And the service to others was a motive that the Lord was trying to teach them. And service that will be rewarded in the end. And they were, if they were obedient, they would be granted the privilege to sit on 12 thrones with Him in His kingdom. But His warning also concerned His crucifixion was directed in particular to Peter, but it really spoke to them all because they all denied Him. But He told Peter beforehand that He had prayed for him, but also that he would deny his Lord. And Peter did that. And Peter, he's a little outspoken. The Bible says to study to be quiet. It'd be a good thing if we could all graduate from that class. But most of us have given so much of our mind, we don't have anything left. But the Lord told Peter this beforehand, and Peter just jumped up and said, "I won't ever deny you." And he declared himself that he was faithful above all the rest. And this warning was a means that the Lord used to cause Peter to return back to the Lord, because the Bible said he remembered the words of the Lord. And you say this morning, "Brother Eddie, I don't deny the Lord." Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe deny the Lord this morning, but you don't realize how. Maybe deny the Lord this morning your attendance. Maybe you deny the Lord this morning your attitude. Maybe you deny the Lord this morning your attributes. And you ought to give some thought to this lesson this morning. I'm not just teaching you, I'm teaching to me too. But our verse starts in Luke 22, verse 24. And said, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now at this time, the Lord has asked them to pray with Him. He said, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And He's asking for some consideration, for some compassion. Right in the midst of this sorrowful time in His life, they're thinking about their ascension into heaven and, man, which one's going to be the greatest when they get to heaven? And this took place in the upper room. And the question of precedence, in other words, who's going to be above the rest, shouldn't have never happened. Who should have the place of honor? Not who should take the servant's place and wash the feet of the disciples, but rather who should be accounted the greatest. Then who should have the place of honor and authority? Who should be the highest dignitary in heaven? It's such a solemn hour as this was, this question arose. The Bible tells us that the Lord, at this time of this discussion, He just rose up and started washing feet, Sophia. Now here He is. He's their Lord. He's their Master. They ain't listening. Man, they're Baptists for sure. They got carnality. Man, they're thinking of everything but Him. So Molly, he just gets him out a towel, girds himself, takes a basin of water, gets down and starts washing feet. Peter said, you ain't going to wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you ain't got no part with me. Boy, the Lord knew just exactly what to say for that moment. Peter took those words back and he said, not my feet only, but my head, my hands also. And the Lord said, this is sufficient, buddy. He's trying to teach a lesson. When they're trying to teach a lesson, it's good to have someone's attention. He was trying to get their attention when He washed their feet. Now just imagine there's no higher than Him. And He stepped down from the highest place there is, from heaven. From the highest throne, His throne's above every throne. He come down here to walk among us, and we've got lips of clay, we're just dust and ashes. Abraham said, I took it upon me to speak to God, who am but dust and ashes. He's from the highest, He's come down to the lowest. He can't communicate with this world, they just can't understand. So He does a lesson here in humility, and He just starts washing their feet. That's where we're at in this lesson. It's a good lesson. He's trying to teach them something they have more need of than they realize. And that self-seeking spirit is of the devil. It's evil. And the devil loves it. Oh, he loves it when you try to put yourself above others. He says, that's right. You deserve. I'll tell you what I deserve, and I'm glad I didn't get it. Amen. I know exactly what I deserve. I couldn't blame God if He went ahead and sent me there anyway. I certainly didn't deserve heaven. I didn't deserve mercy. I didn't deserve grace. I didn't deserve His sacrifice. But He gave it. But the devil loves it when you got a self-seeking spirit. It's a spirit that leads people to hell instead of heaven. And it's full of innumerable evils. Then it caused Lucifer to fall. Caused one-third of angels to fall, to be cast out of heaven. It leads to all manners of crimes. Why would someone break into someone's house, take something that wasn't theirs? Well, they got a self-seeking spirit. They want what you got, James. You know, I've read a lot of things. I'm lazy when it comes to reading, but if I'm interested enough, I'll read it. I remember reading about this story one time about this rich man. He's walking down the street. And these thugs, they saw him and they realized he's rich, and man, they come over and beat the tar out of him. They robbed him, and he started to leave. And he said, hold on a minute, boys. He said, you ain't took it all. And he reached inside his jacket. He said, I've got more. Here, take this too. Well, they was completely dumbfounded. They couldn't. What are you thinking? We just robbed you and you're giving us more? He said, you don't understand, boys. I got the love of God. I mean, I'd like to reach you with Jesus. He was able to lead them boys to Christ because they'd never seen love on that fashion. They'd never seen no one reacting that way. They'd never seen no one not call the law, not call 911, but they saw someone do something they'd never seen before. He said, here, boys, here's some more. That's what Jesus did to us. We beat the tar out of him. He said, here, boys, here's some more. Yeah. He was spitefully entreated. Yet he said, here's some more. Take this. Take my mercy. Take my grace. Take my forgiveness. Take my love. It's not a common virtue. There are a few people. I've seen them. There are a few people that possess that kind of love. But it's rare. But the other kind of spirit caused people to fall. And it leads people into a life of crime. And they start being more like the devil, and their heart rises up to ambitions that are evil. And it allows self to exalt itself. Man, I'll tell you what, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. If you've got a Christ-filled life, then you're behind him, and he's got the precedence. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And I know people, they make a profession. It's a credible profession. But they're still holding on to something. The reason they are is because they're not completely letting him be Lord. And the carnality of their heart says, I can't do that. I can't give that. If I do, I won't make it. Well, I won't argue that. But you got to be careful with that self-ambition. I don't say be reckless. I don't say have the kind of faith that'll put you at a loss. I don't say that. But I do know one thing. You need to be careful. These disciples, man, he couldn't reach them no matter what he did. They couldn't see what he was trying to show them no matter how hard he tried. I've got Mark chapter 10 wrote down here. I want to see. I really should have made a note, I guess. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 41. Said, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou wouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. And he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, the other on thy left hand in glory. Jesus said unto them, you don't know what you ask. Can you drink of the cup I drink of and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They didn't really give any thought to that statement. But they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. They was going to die and be baptized with the baptism I shall be baptized with. But he said, to sit on my right hand, on my left hand, is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it's prepared. When the ten heard it, they began to be much pleased, much displeased with James and John. They had indignation against them. You see, that self wanting to rise above others, that self-ascension, that self-ambition, that self-seeking spirit, they wanted to be above the others, ten. And the other ten had indignation against them. Verse 25, he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Y'all can go on to your Sunday school classes back there, Peyton and Dawson. All right, you can stand here, sweetie. He said, you shall not be so. Let me get back to verse 25. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Being called a benefactor. That name, sometimes it's given without the reality of the position, and lots of times it's just a flattering title. A lot of people are regarded as some great thing, and that calls them not to have a mind to serve anyone but themselves. And instead of serving people, I was listening to preaching on the way up here. It's kind of rough preaching. I never heard any preaching like that. But it said democracy is only for people that can't lead. They appoint people over them that aren't fit to lead. And I don't know really, the man sounded like he knew what he was talking about, but I never really heard it like that. But John chapter 12, verse 43 says they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And a lot of people fit that description, that criteria. But I'll tell you, who much is given, much shall be required. Certainly don't want to take no precedence, because I'll tell you right now, I know old Eddie Wade's going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account. And it's going to be pretty rough. You might not think much about the judgment of God, but you're going to be judged of God. You're going to be judged by God. And on that day, I hope you've got the right excuse. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he met God on the wrong terms. But I'll tell you what, it didn't take him too long to get down to the ground. Said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Paul seen God come down on Mount, not Paul, but Moses seen God come down on Mount Sinai. And he said, I saw the side of it. He said, it made me exceedingly quake in fear. When God comes down, men will see themselves to be but men. Right now, men look at Brother Eddie, they think, who's he? But when God comes down, they won't say, who is he? They'll say, woe is me. Amen, Molly. Yeah. It's going to be a terrible day. The Lord said to His disciples, but ye shall not be so. He that's greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that's chief, let him be as doth serve. The self-seeking spirit has no place in the kingdom of God. It really doesn't. If God had made man as a machine make pens, all be alike. Man, we'd just be cloned. They try to clone people. And I guess they've had some degree of success. I wouldn't argue that. I ain't even smart enough to give a description, but they've been cloning sheep and all kind of junk. And if they're able to achieve it, they'll be cloning humans for long. And I'm not a scientist, so I have no comment there that would be of any value. But God didn't make us all alike. He made us all different. We got a different fingerprint. We got a different... bless you, Molly. We got a different look. I look in the mirror, I thank God nobody looks like me. Amen. I hate to run into me. Amen. And I'm glad there's just one of me. I hate it. God's got to deal with just one. I can only imagine what it'd be like to have to deal with two Eddie Wades.
He looks at us all through the blood.
It's true, Molly.
So we all look like there,
or we're
supposed to.
God, He didn't make us all alike, but the humble never puts Himself above, but always puts Himself below and ready to serve. He that's chief is to use that position, his talent, his wealth, everything that makes him chief as a means of serving others and doing good. Then he that's greatest serves the most, his fellow men. This is not only true of the church of a whole, but it's true of everyone that's in it. And verse 27 says, for what is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I'm among you as he that serveth. Jesus didn't claim the position of honor. He didn't seek to be exalted. Jesus came into the world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to minister unto others and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus was always making sacrifices for the good of mankind. He set the perfect example. You read the Beatitudes, He tells you in those Beatitudes what you ought to be like. Of course, we don't measure up, but He tells us what we ought to be like. And the King of Kings served simple men. And He done it with self-sacrifice and love, done it more so than any other being in the universe. By the way, he got so little in return for it. In a former contention as to who should be the greatest, Jesus used a little child and he set him in the midst. And on this occasion, he himself he used as an object lesson. He who was their Lord and Master took up their neglected duty and performed the duty to his disciples in the service which their pride had prevented them from performing to one another. He done it. No one had ever offered to perform an act of kindness. So Jesus rose from his place and took their place. This simple performance of humble duty, he done. And what a lesson he taught. They may not have received it, but he still taught it. And he commanded them in verse 28, and he said, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations." His persecutions, his reproaches, the insults that he endured, the dangers that were always there, and his being rejected, even as Judas that fell away from the 12, these 11 had persevered in staying with him. And this verse here is one of deep gratitude that he expressed in his words. That's true, Molly. That's true. Somebody wrote a song, "God Walks the Dark Hills," and how true that is. But in this gratitude that he expressed to them in verse 28, he commends them in verse 29. He says, "I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me." Jesus was King of kings and Lord of lords. Then by the sacrifice of giving himself for others in the same way and only in that way was his promise fulfilled to them that he made. He says on, "That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." An entrance, the Bible said, was made through him. He gave an opening, an opportunity. He gave them a place at his table. He said, "You may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This privilege he bestowed upon them because they stayed with him. And nothing could express any higher dignity nor any closer intimacy with the King of Kings than he told them, "You'll sit on thrones with me." These are his faithful ones that it partook of his sufferings, and he said they'd also partake of his triumphs in his glory, in his reign, with him throughout eternity, they'd be there. Now, when you get to heaven, you'll observe these. When you get to heaven, you'll see that he fulfilled this promise to them. Verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon." Now, the Lord mentioned his name twice. The reason he did is because he wanted him to attentively listen to what he's saying. Lots of times in the Bible, you'll see the Lord mention things twice. Anytime it's mentioned twice, there's a reason for that. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Psalms 53 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." There's a reason God put that in there twice. Proverbs 14 Proverbs 14, I believe it's 12, I might be wrong. But it says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Mentioned again in Proverbs 16, verse 14, I believe it is. I know it's in Proverbs chapter 14 and Proverbs chapter 16. Word for word, it's repeated again. So anytime the Lord says something twice, there's a reason for that. He wants you to attentively listen, pay attention. So he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus here is giving Peter a solemn warning. And Judas had proved himself to be chaff. Now, understand this. The Bible said the ungodly are not sold, but as the chaff driven by the wind. That's Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is a man sitteth not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of his Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, bringing forth his fruit in season, his leaf also shall not wither. The ungodly are not sold, but like the chaff driven by the wind. Judas was ungodly. He was chaff. He didn't make it. I want you to understand the reason he is chaff. Because he wouldn't let Jesus be Lord. Jesus warns Peter that he too is going to meet a terrible fate. And in that temptation, Satan's planning to overthrow Peter. I'll tell you right now, Satan plans to overthrow you. To you that are lost, he's not going to let you get saved. You better listen to me this morning. To you that are saved, man, he's going to try his best to make your faith shipwreck. He's going to try to get you an absentee. He's going to try to get you to say, well, you know, they'll be all right without me. We need to talk to Jesus about that. Because the Word of God says, not forsaking assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. You need to talk to Jesus about not being here. You need to talk to Jesus about not getting saved. You need to talk to Him, because I'll tell you one day, you're going to stand before Him and you're going to get your opportunity to talk to Him then. I'll be preaching along those lines tonight. But the Lord's trying to warn Peter of Satan's attack. Of course, Peter's like you and me. Hey, boy, are you talking to the wrong one? They all might, but not me. I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready. Well, that's itself rising up. He couldn't take this warning. Lord says Satan's going to not just overthrow you, but he's going to sift you as wheat. Now the only good thing about this warning is verse 32, and the Lord says, but I prayed for thee. Boy, I'm glad he lives forever to make intercession for us. Because there's a real devil down here. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus never left Peter in despair. He gave Peter assurance that he not only had prayed for thee, but also that he was interceding for him. Jesus did not pray that Peter might be spared from this trial, but he prayed that Peter might recover in this trial. And even though Peter almost was shipwrecked, through Christ's prayer, Peter was saved. And he wept, he remembered the words of the Lord, he went out, wept bitterly, and was stronger than he was before after this sore trial. And I say today, who will be shaken? Who will be disappointed by failure? Who will pass through similar trials? For what it's worth, I know you won't receive this, but I give it anyway. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Says, knowing this, that the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren in the world. In other words, you ain't got no sore trial and I do. We're all attempted. We're all tried. We're all tested. We're all in the same category.
That's right, but we have Christ to help us through those trials.
It's true. Amen. That's true, Molly. I'm glad He put that in there. He said, I prayed for you, but your faith fail not. I'm glad, praise God, we got some praying for us that our faith doesn't fail. Verse 33, Peter, again, rising up, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Peter protested this warning. And in the protest, it's the language of self-confidence. It's the language of inexperience. It's the language of, Lord, you don't need to warn me. And I'll tell you right now, who didn't realize the weakness of his own faith and the deceitfulness of his own heart. And no one knows what he's liable to do in our temptation. Now there are people right now committing, hey Brother Richard, there are people right now committing atrocities, that are unthinkable. How'd they get there? I read some of them on the internet, and I can't repeat them. I mean, I blushed when I read them. But how'd they get there? Maybe they had that not me attitude. Maybe they had that, you don't have to worry, I'm stronger than so-and-so. I can handle it, man. One of the things the devil loves is when you say, I can handle it. I can handle that liquor, boy. I can handle them drugs. My sons always tell me, I'm not like others, Dad. I said, boy, the devil loves that, son. He likes that kind of mind. He says, you know, I'm different. You know, I'm exceptional. That rule doesn't apply to me. Well, the Bible says, to him that standeth, take heed lest he fall. One of the things the devil loves is pride. If he can ever get you to think a thought that you can somehow make it without God, somebody wrote a song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. And I know it's just a song, but what a great truth is manifested in that song. And Peter here, he's vehemently denying this warning, and he's protesting that God would even think that he would deny him. So the Lord just goes ahead and finishes it, and he says, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. In other words, he's saying, Peter, I just want you to know, buddy, today you're going to deny me three times. Now Peter's sitting there thinking, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He thinks I'm going to deny him three times today. Well, I got a big S in here. That big S in here says otherwise. Just read your Bible and you'll find out that Jesus was right and Peter was wrong. But there's a lot of Peters. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. So he told him beforehand, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt three times deny that thou knowest me. Not once, Peter, but three times you're going to deny that you even know who I am. Peter vehemently denied this. And the other apostles or disciples also joined with him in this declaration that they would die before they deny him. By the way, they all forsook him. They all denied him. They left him alone in the garden. Verse 35, he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said nothing. Jesus forewarns them here of a change in their circumstances. Now listen, just because you get saved don't mean the road's going to start in the gold. Just because you get saved doesn't mean the devil's not going to have permission to come against you. Just because you get saved doesn't mean it's not going to rain on your party, your parade. I'll just promise you this. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is there anybody even here this morning that thinks they have the whole armor of God on this morning? I certainly won't raise my hand. But I'll tell you one thing. It's to my disadvantage when I don't. It describes the armor. It gives it piece by piece. And it tells them there what you're going to need. See, there's a war going on. Oh, not me, Brother Ed. You got wars going on in your mind right now. Right now, you're in a mental battle. Right now, even with this Sunday school lesson, this ain't even preaching. In this Sunday school lesson, you got a mental battle going on right now. Satan sitting on your right side saying, ah, not you. Jesus sitting on the other side saying, boy, I wish you'd listen this morning. Amen. And you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, it sounds true, but not with me. That might happen to Peter. It might happen to them disciples, but it ain't going to happen to me. But the Lord here told him, and forewarned them all that there's going to be a change in their circumstances. Listen, I want you to know the church is under attack more today than ever before. They're telling me, and by telling me, they're telling you, that you can't speak against homosexuality or they'll take away your tax exempt number. They're telling me I can't preach about certain things because separation of church and state. There is going to be a separation of church and state. It's going to happen at the sound of the trump. In the twinkle of an eye, there's going to be a true separation of church and state. But right now, the church is here. It's here for a reason. We're the light. We're the salt. We're the witnesses. They left behind so great a cloud of witnesses. Your testimony, my testimony, they're all important. And you ought to give it as often as you can. You read about Paul everywhere he went. He gave his testimony. When's the last time you gave yours? Maybe there's somebody here this morning who needs your testimony. Well, that's what you're here for. Hey, I got saved. I wonder why I wasn't in heaven. I thought there must be some reason I'm here. But after this time, they've been carried. They've been protected by His favor. And now He turns their thought to the fact there's going to be a change because He's going to be leaving. He tries to give them a warning. Verse 36, then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. A change in circumstances. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Things are changing. Yeah, you better remember that word change. Remember, we've got promise to change. When you read it, you'll know what's in it. Yeah. The little people. Well, I'm glad there's one above all. And I'm glad they're not going to dethrone him. Now, they might dethrone the church. They might have silenced. The ox that treadeth out the corn. But they're going to give place to him. And I'm glad of that, Keith. I'm glad he's going to show up and he's going to set everything back in order again. Right now it's in disarray. It's in a mess. Morning, Christina.
You know, our struggle against the world is his word.
Yeah.
And I don't think too many people got that.
We got a communist nation named Russia, heathenistic nation. I can't take my Bible over there, but guess what? They got enough sense. They throwed out all the homosexuals. They don't allow their children to be adopted by same-sex couples. They don't allow their children to be taught the homosexual way. Oh, yeah, it's an uproar. Yeah, the world, they can't. Who do they think they are? Oh, they're just showing America. We won't do it. They're just showing America how it's supposed to be done. It's amazing God used a nation like Russia to put us to shame. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, the Lord here is talking about a change in circumstances. Before, they didn't have to take no provisions wherever they went. Before, they didn't have to take no money, no food. Now, they must equip themselves for the journey. And they were even to work with their own hands. He that hath no sword, the Lord said, let him sell his garment, buy one. They must be careful now. Now, but I'll tell you what, the one they had with them all along, they put to silence the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers. Now they got to stand on their own. Now, little Celine there, she's in her mama's arms, but one day she'll stand on her own. Yeah. The lost, and one day he'll be a man. Yeah. Yeah, one day he'll stand on his own two feet. See, the Lord been with them, boy, He took care of them. He put the silence. All this gainsaying, all these liars. Now they got to stand. And now they got to be careful. In the last verse, I'm sorry for being so long, verse 37, he says, for I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. He's again, giving them warning of the fact, I'm not always going to be here with you. I'm not going to be always within reach. The hour now has arrived. Now he must be treated as a malefactor and be crucified. They're not going to be able to handle this. They're going to be in horror as they see the things written about him fulfilled. The disciples are going to be left as sheep without a shepherd. They're going to be scattered abroad. You know, what a lesson. I know it probably went over your head. Probably didn't even go down in your heart. Probably tickled your ear just a little bit. One thing about the Word of God, the certainty of it come from God. Also the fact it tells us what we need, tells us the way we need it. You do well, take heed as a light that shines in darkness. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school lesson this morning. I thank you, Father, for those that were here to hear it. I do pray, dear Father, Lord, you would help us. Lord, you're greater in our heart. You know all things. And I pray we'd assure our hearts to you. Lord, if there be any condemnation this morning, I pray we'd confess it and get on the blessing ground of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I ask Brother James, if he would please, to come and...